Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner. You can find all my contact information in the show notes. You can also visit me on my website, turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag, or follow me on Twitter at turnerstake. I work with online traders, broker-assisted, everything in between on hybrids. We also work with a lot of farmers, anything from helping out with cash sales and inputs to hedging on the board in their marketing strategy. So if you have any questions about that kind of stuff, feel free to contact me. In other words, let's get this started here. We've got start with the macro news on the day. Jobs were good. 275,000. Let's see here. Construction was really good. Construction has been very good. I think probably better than expected because it's been warmer out. So maybe all those construction jobs that have come in, maybe we don't see as many construction jobs into the spring here because we already saw the big increase earlier rather than later in the year. I will say what is encouraging too is higher wages. So that is very positive on the jobs report. The only way to really probably get this going much higher than where we're, you know, where we can see continued growth in jobs is to see productivity growth. To get productivity growth, you usually need investment into companies, into technologies, and real capital investment. Typically, that kind of spark usually comes from tax reform, either lower corporate taxes or, you know, some kind of tax benefit from the government or whatever it may be, to kick in capital spending, to which eventually leads to productivity growth. So if you know, that's also part of this big stock rally. If we do see that kind of change come out of Congress, we could probably see stocks go higher and jobs go higher and wage growth go higher. If that stalls out, the jobs increase could stall out too. And the stock market would probably have an issue also. So we do have the Fed meeting next week. Could see a rate increase. I know a lot of people are talking about 3 rate increases this year. March could be the month for it. Some people are saying if things go really well for the economy this year, we could see 4 rate increases. If we do, you know, if we do see those rate increases, you would think that would be strong for the dollar. Higher interest rates usually lead to the higher pricing of that local currency. And that would not be that great for our export business. And with respect to this podcast, that would not be great for, you know, grains, and export sales with grains. So something to keep an eye on, that FOMC meeting next week, and interest rates will be a big one. And, we'll certainly, follow that too. On the energy front, we see that crude oil is down 9% on the week, which is pretty significant. I think what happened is, you know, OPEC made cuts, and the market got excited about that, and we rallied, and we were never really able to break out higher, probably because of 3 factors. One, not enough economic growth to get demand up. Even though economic growth's been okay, hasn't been gangbusters, so we haven't seen a you know, increased use of crude. So that's number one. Number two, the OPEC cuts were kind of made up by U.S. shale increases. So as OPEC cut their oil use, or production use, we saw that being made up basically by U.S. shale coming in and filling the gap. So After the latest reports from the government, and just to see what we have on stocks and what's being on use and what economic growth projects, we saw crude break out of a narrow range that it's been trading ever since OPEC came up with that deal to lower production. So it'll be interesting to see commitment of traders. There's been a big long in the managed funds for crude. If the funds start liquidating, would not be surprised to see crude trade in the low 40s. At that point, I'd probably take a look at, see if we want to be a buyer, either in the flat price or in the future spreads. But for right now, I don't know what OPEC's going to do. You know, are they going to keep on cutting production? Because if they do, then is the U.S. shale industry just going to keep on producing to make up for that gap? If they increase production, they're just going to flood the market. I don't know. I think OPEC is in a tough spot here. I'm thinking we're heading to low 40s just based on that. Natural gas, after a very warm winter and prices getting sent down, we're seeing a rebound now. The story is the colder weather, so that should create some demand. No one's expecting natural gas to go to 4, but in the near months anyways, but we could see a rebound here. So I'll be looking at, I probably bull spreads in natural gas if we want to take advantage of that. Or if you're trading natural gas, it'd be tough. I think trading the outright is kind of hard, but, you know, if you can find a spread that you like, if it's, you know, May versus June, which would be a really tight one, but, you know, June versus September, June versus December. Trading the crude oil spreads, too, June versus December, I know has been pretty popular. There's been a lot of volume and open interest in that, so that's probably how I would attack the energy markets. So the catalyst, while the weather stays cold, should be to the upside for natural gas, while for crude oil, the catalyst and the pressure is going to be down to the downside with the larger quantity, the OPEC cuts not working, U.S. shale inventory and production on the rise, and liquidation and possible fund liquidation from the longs in the crude market. Alrighty, so last but not least, let's talk about some of the agriculture. I'm going to start off with livestock. Two interesting stories, I think, going on in livestock. On the front end, in cattle, we have tight supplies. And we also have a pretty good discount of futures, I think, to cash, depending on where you're looking at the sales in the country. So if that's the case, I would think we could see April cattle kind of try to get back up to that 120. You know, we usually see a spring rally, spring highs in cattle. The high from the winter is about 120 in April. Would not be surprised if over the next couple weeks we test those highs again. I'm not and so bullish on the cattle short term just because the futures do have, I think, room to run a little higher just based on where cash is and the seasonality of the cattle market. After that, I tend to turn a little bearish. That's why I was liking that August versus October bear spread. The reason why is even though we have some tightness now short-term in the cattle market, those placement numbers on the cattle on feed have been quite high, and it takes a while. You know, cattle on feed on placements, those are the feeder cattle coming into the feedlots. They're going to fatten up those cattle, and it's going to take 3, 4, 5 months, you know, to really fatten those up and get them ready for market, you know. And if feed is cheap and prices are high and it makes economic sense, they'll feed them longer. If the feed's expensive and they get good profit without having to feed them more, they'll send them out earlier. There's a lot of different dynamics that go on there just between like feed and the market price for the end product. But you know, we're not going to see that pressure on the market for a little while. That's why I like being bear spread the back end. You could almost use the current strength in the cash and the front month futures to get a pricing opportunity and bear spreading the back months, in my opinion. So that is something that I do like. I like it as a spec trade. I even kind of like it for hedgers. You know, if a hedger is trying to just protect some downside in a very modest way and not try to take on too much risk, I even like that. I think it's kind of like a half a hedge. But if you're a cattle producer, happy to talk to you about that. Okay, so that's my idea on cattle. With hogs, interesting story here. So bear with me for a second. April hogs. So there's a lot of hogs coming into the market. You know, a lot of people have read the story about how we had a shortage in bacon and bellies. And that really forced a lot of the Packers to come out and cover. They were basically short-bought and cover by buying hogs to make up for basically their contractual obligations, you know, in the retail and wholesale market of what they needed to produce for that. That sent hogs higher. There are a lot of hogs coming to the market. Now, April is about $3 or $4 below the cash index on the CME. And the problem is that cash index being $3 or $4 and the futures being under it, you do tend to see some convergence. And we've seen that in the December contract and the February contract. So I'm thinking that April might have a little bit more of a tendency to move higher just because the futures are lower than the cash price. But I'm also expecting a lot of the lean hog to come onto the market here and putting pressure on it. So I think I'd rather be short June. And then if you wanted to spread it, you could be long April. I know that goes against some of the rules that I've talked about in the past, where if you're bearish on a market, you want to be bear spread. And bear spread is short the front month and long the front month. And I'm talking about right now being bearish on the market overall, but being bull spread, being long April and short June, which is, I can understand why I think that's a little strange, but I just think there's just a little bit different dynamic right now going on in hogs that you typically don't see. So you could be long April just because of the cash price CME index and the April hogs catching up with that, but also anticipation of more animals coming to market over the next couple weeks and months and being short the June. So it's still a bearish play, and yet we're bull spread because of the convergence between the cash index and the front month, if that makes sense. I'll try to write about that more, because I had been bear spread that contract, and I thought that was going really well, and you know, we were bear spread for -8. I think we took half off around -9.5 for about a point and a half, got the rest out at 9 when we started to see a little bit of reversal. Which, you know what, hold on one second. I just got to pick this up. Someone's calling in. All right, I'm back. And, you know, so anyways, we were bear spread that April versus June. And then when that got out of half, and then we saw it start to reverse. So we got out completely and made about a point to a point and a half on, you know, the first half and the second half of that. I do think that has some potential to rally here over the short term. So I don't know if I like selling June just outright, or being bull spread April versus June, or maybe you're dealing both. Like maybe you bull spread the April versus June and, you know, then sell a second one in June to be outright short the June. But that's just how the market seems to be setting up right now. So there's two, and that's conflicting ideas. So I don't know, maybe you just stay out of hogs altogether. But that's just how I see the hog market right now. So that's my take on livestock. We're going to wrap up this podcast with the grains. Alrighty, so on Wednesday I talked after the WASDA report. We were concerned about soybeans going lower. And we are now down 5 days in a row. We've been down all week since the WASDA report. Looks like we've broken through some trend line support here. So May soybeans, we're still above $10. $10 is a pretty big psychological level, and also if you go back to January and May beans, that was a pretty big support level too. Here's my problem with soybean prices in March. There's no weather market in the United States, and there will not be until we really get into planting, and no one's going to be planting now. So we can't have any planting delays or talk about, you know, guys not planting corn or in this case planting more corn, and which could be at the expense of soybeans in the later half. So there's no bullish weather story there. You tend not to see bullish export stories for soybeans right now, because a lot of the exports are switching from the U.S. to South America, particularly Brazil. A lot of those beans have been harvested. They're going into the ports. The vessels are lining up. The sales. This is Brazilian soybean export market season right now. So the U.S. exports start to wind down. So there aren't that many bullish cards in the deck for beans at the moment, unless you get, let's say we get a big flood, you know, those dirt roads in Brazil get all flooded out, the trucks stop for a couple of, you know, a couple of days, that puts a hold in exports. Maybe more sales come to the United States. Or you get the big strikes. We see that sometimes, too. Trucker strikes, union strikes, strikes down at the ports, stuff like that. You would need something like that to maybe be a bullish card for soybeans. If you don't get that this time of year with such a big crop, it's tough. You know, soybeans will probably feel pressure. I don't think we're going to go cratering down, but, you know, it's one of these. I mean, you've seen these markets. We just keep on leaking lower by 5 or 10 cents a day or something like that. You know, corn leaks lower 2 or 3 cents a day. It's kind of like death by a thousand cuts, right? So that's probably what will happen between now and, let's say, planting intentions. During planting intentions, that's when you can start to see soybeans and the grain markets rebound a little bit. And it's really because of acreage expectations and how planting has kind of got kicked off. Is subsoil, you know, is soil and subsoil moisture good? Is anything dry? How are planting conditions around the states? And you can start getting into those kind of stories to give a little bit of pickup in the U.S. grain markets. But I think the next couple of weeks will be challenging. I'm not saying we're not going to see higher prices at some point. I'm just saying next couple of weeks could be, you know, not the best time for farmers to make sales. Or for someone, but it could be an interesting time to maybe kind of search out a low here before we get into spring planting. You never know when you get a spring planting issue, and if you can use the pressure here. And maybe it does make sense to get a little bull spread corn or bull spread soybeans. I mean, that July, if you follow soybeans, July versus November beans are now under 20 cents. I don't know, maybe over the next couple of weeks, if it keeps on dropping down to 10 or 15, you know, gets down to 15 cents or 10 cents over, you know, you got to start thinking the potential net spread all starts to turn to the upside if we get weather issues. So that'd be something I'll definitely be keeping an eye on. Trading July versus November beans is all about trade location. It will go up. It will go down. that spread is definitely a timing issue. And when to use it based on just catalysts that pop up during the year. Now is not a catalyst for when to get long that spread. That could happen in a month or two, though. All right, so that's our take on soybeans. It's going to leak lower. If November gets up to 10:30, I'm sure we'll see some farmers selling. I'm sure in my Turner's Take Ag Marketing newsletter, I'll probably make some new sales, too, on the cash market, you know, for soybeans. You talk to farmers, they all want to still interested in selling $4 corn. That could be a little tough now. December corn is now $3.87 and also testing support lines. So, you know, we're going to need some planting delays or something to probably kickstart that market, or something's going to have to change on the planting intentions. Unfortunately, with planting intentions, it'll be, if there is a big switch in acres, one crop will be a winner, one crop will be a loser, because either it's the soybeans will take acres from corn or vice versa. So there's no probably way for both of them to win or both of them to lose, but it's going to have to be one to the other. I still like the wheat, Kansas City, July Kansas City wheat versus July Chicago wheat came down to 10 or 11 cents today. We're now at the trend line support. We're testing it. I still like it. You know, the problems that wheat's having is in the hard red winter areas. So I know we're only 10 cents over, but if there's going to be wheat issues, it's going to be with hard red winter, which is that Kansas City contract. If we get back to a normal market with a normal protein, you know, a historical protein differential, you know, I think Kansas City is trading 20 to 30, somewhere in there, 20 to 30 cents over Chicago. And if it's the Kansas City contract that's having the issues, and it's the Kansas City contract that we're predominantly trading, planting less acres in, I don't know. I mean, if you see something going on, if I'm missing something in the Kansas City versus Chicago spread, let me know, because I don't think it should be this low at this point. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Looks like there was a pretty big liquidation in it today. So I'll have to check that out over the weekend. But a lot of times that can just be that can be an opportunity. So I'll look into that and write more about that in Turner's Take Ag Marketing and also Turner's Take Marketing Alert. I'm going to be keeping an eye on soybeans. And yeah, I'm going to take this weekend to get some rest. I'm sure you notice I've got a cold here. I blame that on my local elementary school, and or also I call it the big petri dish down the street from me. Because, man, little kids, they certainly bring home a lot of stuff, including colds. So, yeah, we'll probably do the podcast Tuesday, Thursday next week. I'll be back in the office full week. Being in San Antonio for Commodity Classic last week was fantastic. For everyone who came by and said hello, thank you. All the new people I met, it was great. It's fantastic to meet the people at the American Soybean Association and National Corn Growers Association. They put on some fantastic events. It was really nice to meet people so high up in that industry and those that work in with the lobbyists and work in policy in Washington, and it was a great time. So I didn't mention on the last podcast, I want to mention on this one. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and I'll talk to you all on Tuesday. All right, have a good one.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.